two resolutions and some new business from Alderman Wolf. Alderwoman Wolf. And starting off with the resolution, we can go over it. I gave you all a copy. We're going to start off and read the resolution and discuss it and make some changes. The first resolution is a resolution, which it should say a resolution approving for the approving the Mayor Johnson to conduct a housing study. And it says, whereas according to 2018 U.S. Census Bureau data, 68% of housing units in the city of Hudson were renter occupied, and whereas according to 2018 American Community Survey, one in five residents in the city of Hudson had incomes below a federal poverty line, and whereas according to the federal guidelines of housing affordability, families should pay no more than 30% of their gross income for housing, and whereas there is a growing perception in the city of Hudson that rental housing is becoming less affordable, especially for low-income residents, and whereas preserving the affordability of rental units and assuring the sustainable increase in rents that meets the needs of the entire city should be a goal of the city of Hudson, and whereas June 14 of 2019, the geographic restrictions of the New York State Emergency Tenant Protection Act of 1974, ETPPA, were removed, allowing municipalities to opt in the ETPA, and whereas opting into the ETPA would allow for the establishment of rent guidelines board within the city of Hudson, which will be tasked by regulating rents in the subset of housing under the ETPA, buildings with six or more units that were built in or before 1974, and whereas in order to determine the city of Hudson's eligibility to opt in the ETPA, a current housing vacancy study must be conducted. And of course, the last paragraph is allowing that to happen with the Hudson City Council calls upon the Mayor Kamal Johnson's administration to commission a housing vacancy survey to determine the City of Hudson eligibility under the ETPA. Are there any comments, questions, or like to see add-ons or takeaways?
Should it include that the vacancy study is to determine if we have an under 5% vacancy rate?
I'm sorry?
Isn't there a vacancy rate requirement involved?
Of 5% or less.
5% or less, right. So that should probably be in the resolution somewhere, you think?
Where? In the second sentence? In the second whereas?
Or maybe the next, in the last whereas. Whereas, in order to determine the City of Hudson's eligibility to opt into the EPTA, a current housing vacancy study must be conducted in order to determine whether we have a 5% or less vacancy rate.
Unimpacted units.
Unimpacted, right. Oh.
Yeah. It's not an overall vacancy rate. It's a vacancy rate only of those units impacted.
You mean only the six?
The ones.
Correct.
Six.
Oh, that's entirely different.
That's
excellent.
Creative.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the vacancy rate is only of those impacted.
I see. And I couldn't get that figure from Craig the way I thought I could.
I can get it from the assessor. I reached out to her office today, but she wasn't in, but she would have that information.
Thursdays. Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Because he'll eventually have that in his database, but now he only has every building that has over two, I think. Yeah, only two units or more. So he doesn't have it, you know, in terms of how many exact units. So we'd only be looking at, the vacancy rate would be for, let's say, theoretically 12 buildings, maybe? 10 buildings?
Yeah, we estimate it would cover about 300 units.
300 units within how many buildings?
I don't have the building breakdown. I just have total units. But, yes. So, and it's both cost-effective to have the vacancy study limited to the impacted units.
Uh-huh.
And really
when I thought it involved the entire
yep.
I I'm sorry, Rebecca, for those in the audience and purpose of the minutes, can you please
introduce Rebecca Garrard, Campaigns Manager for Housing Justice with Citizen Action of New York.
Thank you.
So this vacancy study wouldn't really take that much time.
It shouldn't, no.
All right.
Yeah.
And what would you estimate the cost of this would be?
So we've talked about this. Right now, the cost has gone up since studies were conducted before the geographic restrictions were removed. So right now, in Kingston, the cost was $32,000, but that impacted approximately 1,800 units. So there's, you know, really the RFP will have to be issued to determine the cost, but there's a very decent chance that it would be significantly lower than that.
What's actually involved in a vacancy study?
Yeah, so it begins with mailers to the property owners asking them to report back on which of their units are occupied and which are not occupied. Ideally, if there's non-compliance on the part of the property owners, then the agency conducting the survey would follow up with phone calls and door knocking on their own to determine, right? It shouldn't be, the process should not be stalled by a lack of compliance on the part of property owners. But it could be as simple as mailings that are returned if you have good compliance.
And then presumably it would be less expensive.
It should be less expensive because there is less units
right.
to target too, right?
And, so. And the less that's involved in getting it done.
So. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I hate to give an estimate, but it should be significantly lower than 32,000. Significantly.
And who do you hire? Who would you hire for these?
So once you issue the RFP, agencies that are centered around urban planning are typically the ones that apply. You can also do active outreach to universities that have urban planning departments in an attempt to cost save. Often they are capable, fully capable of conducting those surveys at a much lower cost.
Any other questions?
You said 300 units. What was that? That was based on?
That was based on analysis that we pulled data from probably 50 cities around the state, including Hudson, last year when we were working through the campaign. So, you know, what we find in every city as we're moving through this is that a lot of six-unit buildings are not realized in a sort of visual capacity that property owners have really taken what appear to be from the outside smaller properties and really subdivided them in a way that you might not recognize driving by it. So six unit buildings can be, you know, it's not just the towers, right? It's just not just the big tall buildings. There are six unit buildings there.
And does it, let's say, I noticed there's a building that had six units, I mean, had five units, but then it had a garage apartment as well. Would that?
As long as there's a CO for that, that would count.
Even though it's not attached to the building?
So as long as they share, the rule is if they share heating systems and those sorts of things, then it counts. So if they share boiler systems and those sorts of things, if that connects that property, then it counts as a six-unit building.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Well, just with the changes of the headline of the resolution.
I would just note, too, I'm so sorry. It is before 1974, so it's not, I think I read.
It says we're built in or before.
Yeah, and it's simply before 74.
Okay.
It's just before 74 is the way the law reads.
Make that change to just built before 1974. No need to add on what you wanted. So just changing the headline, a resolution of the Hudson Common Council authorizing, not calling on, authorizing Mayor Johnson's administration to conduct a housing vacancy study to determine the City of Hudson's eligibility to opt into the Emergency Tenant Protection Act. May I have a motion to move this forward to the full council with the changes that were made? Rebecca, and a second. Shorsha, all in favor?
Aye.
I have a Did I just say aye if I was one of the people that put it forward?
Will you raise your hand and say aye?
So consent.
Okay, moving on to the next resolution. It is a resolution in support of selling a parcel of city-owned land for development of affordable housing. Also, for the blanks that are in here, I would receive that information from the city assessor. And she, like I said earlier, she wasn't in today. Whereas the city of Hudson owns a vacant parcel of land located at and identified as a tax lot, and whereas there is a shortage of quality affordable housing in the city, and whereas the development of the parcel for affordable housing would help alleviate that shortage. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that the City of Hudson Common Council finds the best potential use of the vacant parcel would be for affordable housing, and let it be therefore resolved that the mayor is requested to work with the Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency to solicit proposals from developers to construct affordable housing on the city-owned parcel located and present a proposal to the Common Council for consideration consistent with Chapter 41 of the Hudson City Code.
Located where?
I was getting ready to say that. Just one second. The location would be at 4th Street and 4th and State Street. There's a lot, a parking lot that the city owns directly across the street from the old library and the Board of Elections, that area. So, any questions?
Yeah, I'm not sure how binding this can be. I mean, I see the last part. And my only hesitation about this is also that right now the mayor and the various agencies involved are all kind of cohering in a way they haven't before to work on housing.
This should be supportive.
It is, but I don't know if we want to just say HCDPA or any of the other entities that could develop it.
Why not?
Can I just ask? I mean,
sure.
That resolution says that the HCDPA would be involved in the soliciting of the proposals, right? That's what it's.
Mm-hmm.
So
mayor would be working with them.
Is HCDPA like specifically the right agency to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one that could do it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not out of. Out of the possibilities of who could do it. I'm not sure how binding this could be either, so I'm not against it, don't get me wrong. I also don't know what the status of that lot is. I think that's been suggested in the past that lot has problems for being built on. Now, I don't know if that's only when I've only been told that. I don't know if it's true or not.
When was the last time there was anything built?
From my understanding, and we had that previous conversation.
Yeah.
During my past terms, it was brought up with the last Common Council president of 2 terms ago, and it was just a deflecting the conversation to not focus on that area. It was a conversation of, well, the county shares the lot. Well, it could be issues underground, but no one actually took the time to say, well, this lot is going to be specifically for housing, and whatever the city has to do to make it necessary for housing, that's what the city is going to do. So that type of conversation never took place. It was just, oh, no, we can't. Oh, well, just leave it there. And here we are today with the opportunity to do something.
And I guess one of the first things that gets done is like a site.
Yeah, they'd have to.
Assessment.
Sure.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Great.
For sure.
Shosha?
Well, it was been like 2018 or 2019, some meeting you was telling about that lot, like you need a housing and it is empty, but after that, no one will know who owned that lot, and is it really county owned or city owned? How county is using them?
It's city owned.
And after that, Linda Musselman was found out in the county meeting, like, it's owned by city and county really using it verbally, no document or nothing with them.
No money, no nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. And county is not paying to the city using city's property, nothing. So after that, there is one question came up which Tiffany mentioning, like, there is any contamination under the ground, but nobody checked it.
Right.
It's just we are telling.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find out, like, if there is no contamination underground, it's perfect for housing.
Well,
right.
Pass this first.
Yeah, I think that would be right. I think that would be covered by this. I mean, obviously, if it can't be done, it can't be done. But if it can be done,
we'll start it off with this one.
Then it can be done, yeah.
Any other comments from the committee? May I have a motion to move this resolution forward to...
I think somebody wants to talk.
Sorry.
Are you going to do the motion first?
I was going to.
Okay.
May I have the motion to move this resolution to the full Common Council? Aye.
Aye.
So motion from Alderman Wolf, second by Shosha, and I will take comments from the audience. Quick.
Yeah.
One second. Question behind you.
My question is, like, you just sent it to the full council, but there was just a question on agency, who's gonna control it. So it might be interesting to see who, like, the, like, in terms of, like, the RFP or, like, moving it forward, like, who would control it? Council, right? You guys could do it, or ACDPA, mm-hmm. And that's not really up to speed yet, right? There's not really anything going on at ACDPA at the moment. So, like, having clarity on, like, the council moving here and not moving into the next step, and then they get brought back, because ACDPA doesn't have any staffing, right? There's nobody.
We have our first meeting next week.
But staff, who, like,
There's
Brenda.
There's a
secretary, yeah. Brenda's still there.
Brenda.
Oh, she's able to do this?
Yeah.
It's also good to know that the housing agency is also going to be working on housing, because it hasn't really been doing that.
Right. Well, that's right, yeah.
Even if it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tiffany, I've got two questions, and one goes back to the... I didn't understand the bit about the impact and how do you get to the 300 units? Can you kind of, I didn't hear about
that. Yeah, that's not an exact number, so the assessor's office could give an exact number.
So how is that calculated then?
The vacancy rate?
Okay, I understand the vacancy rate, because it was a discussion that it wasn't all apartments in the city, so can you go come back to that part?
Absolutely. So the law says that rent stabilization, ETPA, would apply to units within buildings built before 1974 that have six or more units.
Oh, okay, that's the...
And so that's the only vacancy rate that needs to be determined.
Oh.
In order to opt in, there needs to be a vacancy rate of 5% or less on those impacted units. The overall vacancy rate for the municipality has no impact whatsoever on whether a municipality can opt in.
Just to repeat back what I've heard, the impacted buildings are defined as those that are six buildings with six units or more.
Built before 1974.
Built before 1974.
That's correct.
Two criteria.
That's correct.
Great, thank you. Thanks, that's really helpful. In your discussion of the affordable housing thing, I think this is, you know, on paper a great idea. All the squiggles can be worked out about the land itself. Do I understand correctly that you have not, at this juncture, defined what affordable housing means?
Well, I mean, it has pretty defined parameters what affordable housing means. So, but I mean, it is not defined in this document.
Not defined. No, I understand. It's broadly defined. Not defined in the document.
Right.
So,
okay.
I think you're familiar with the, you know, there's all levels of affordability based on average income, median income, and all that kind of.
Yeah, so I guess that's where I'm.
Well,
what point on the continuum are we talking about?
In the first resolution that we discussed, and it says for the this would be according to affordability as far as the according to the federal guidelines for affordable housing, families should pay no more than up to 30% of their gross income. So that is one definition.
Right. Okay.
And that right now would be the formula that they have in Bliss Towers and Skylar Court, the terraces things of.
I guess the question then,
I think it would be end up being determined by whoever ends up developing it.
Okay, well.
The levels that they could, you know, afford to actually develop it and then have rents at a certain tiers or whatever.
So the question then becomes the income level.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I do think this is an important thing to think through further. But I think that the mechanism for determining it is probably not in this document, but in some other kind of document, namely one of the things that I wanted to bring up later.
And that is?
A community benefits agreement, like something that basically describes the way that development has to address the need for affordable housing, like at different levels, and how a city decides that it's going to have that built into development.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Am I correct in understanding that that is not yet determined as the, depending on the developer, as the income levels are not determined within this document at this time? Okay, thanks. But I love the idea of the community benefit part.
Yeah, it's really cool.
As a comment. Thanks, guys.
So.
Gotcha.
Yes, John.
Just a stupid question. I think any housing on that site is a much better use for the site than a parking lot is, and I think affordable housing is great. Do you know what the contribution would be? How would the contribution to the property tax rolls?
Most of these projects have had pilots.
So this would be probably another pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's not a zero.
Right, definitely.
The way some people think they are.
Right.
Okay, we're going to hold off on questions from the audience so Alderman Wolf can discuss her points for this evening.
Oh, thank you. I want to just introduce a couple of things that I'd like to pursue. And I think that it's possible that some of them are actually not really the purview of this committee because they, like, for example, the community benefits agreement, I think would end up being something in the legal committee. Mm. But it's certainly relevant to housing and, but also relevant to economic development. So it's like a thing that, you know, touches lots of different committees and lots of different parts of the city. I have a little list and I'll just, start with one of the things I wanted to bring up in this committee specifically is a conversation about how we're going to, well, and actually I think this doesn't really sit in this committee either, but how we're going to deal with enforcement of short-term rental legislation. Like, I think that's something that we have to start thinking about at this point. Because it's always, number one, it's always the question that comes up from the community. It's like, all right, this sounds great or this sounds terrible, but how are you going to enforce it? And so I feel like we just need to get that conversation moving, whether it's...
It's definitely on the legal committee agenda.
Yeah.
You're on the legal
committee. I am on the legal committee, but I'm not sure that it's... I guess I don't really... know if it's going to be up to the legal committee to determine that or whether that's actually going to come into, like...
Well, it happens to where when you work on an issue where it can be moved from one committee, does its work, and then move it on to the next committee to continue, and then can go to the full council. That can happen.
Okay, so I'm just bringing that up as a thing. Next item is just that I wanted to just make it, like, a matter of the record that the... On the HDCPA, the chair of the HDCPA is actually, according to city code, supposed to be a dedicated fair housing officer for the city. So not a county, you know, specifically for the city. So, and I think that hasn't been happening for a long time.
Ever.
Or potentially ever. So I think that's something that needs to, you know, happen. And yeah, we're meeting next week.
And you said a housing officer, you said?
A fair housing officer. And so the city code...
So the one that we did use, well, the one that I invited, he worked for...
Bill Fisher.
Yes, and he's the county with Hudson included, and I did have him as a guest,
yep.
And he did say that it would be ideal if Hudson has its own, because
yep.
We have our own
right
unique
there in
thing.
The city code, and it has been since the HUD, everything with HUD was put into effect, that the chair of the HDCPA is supposed to be the city fair housing officer, and the list of responsibilities of the fair housing officer are pretty extensive, really. Like, they're supposed to be addressing themselves to questions of discrimination, questions of equity. It's not just, like, pragmatic.
So I'd suggest when you pick a chair next week, you're pretty careful who you decide to pick.
Yep. I think we have a pretty small board currently.
Wasn't that defined also by the code as
how big the
yeah.
board is supposed to
yeah.
be? Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah. So it's code, if anybody's interested, it's code 1745 in the city code. I wanted to bring up also the potential of the city adopting an affordable housing impact fee or linkage fee, which is something that also gets invoked anytime that there is development, basically. Like, so for example, the CAS site, it's a situation where developers basically pay into sort of a fund to offset the impact on the affordability, essentially, of the city. So that's something I think would be cool to move forward, possibly. And then last but not least, the community benefits agreement, which makes provisions for housing. It's an agreement that the city enters into with itself, which basically determines how, when people are trying to do, basically develop something in the city, it makes provisions for how housing is affected and also hiring practices and what kinds of like fair hiring things are in place. And cities, you know, have it. I think Oakland has one, Dallas has one, I think Houston is trying to have one, Pittsburgh. So they're really effective and they do great things. So I'm hoping we can one here.
I think okay. Those are two of the, I mean, both are good ideas. I think one of the problems is going to be there's not going to be that many large developments that can afford to do it.
Yeah.
But looking way forward with all the possibilities that may happen in the future, you know, if Hudson Avenue ever gets developed in that big area down there, or if, you know, the prison property, then you're going to have big development possibilities where this would be useful. But right now, it's like, basically, it's like forcing
the
cash.
But the idea is to put it in place.
Yeah, sure.
So that then, moving forward.
Yeah, oh, you know, I see.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what I got.
Thank you. Got a lot of work to do, Rebecca. You made your whole list. That's your job.
That's what I got.
Any other questions from the audience? No? May I have a motion to adjourn? Motion, Tom. Second, please. Second, Shosha. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Don't say anything until I'm finished. WG. Oops. WG. Done.